couple of other rituals, there is some dancing. After the bundle is opened, the ritual offers a number of dance songs or songs without words. In unison, one or more dance with the objects and are mostly free to dance as they are. There is no structure to the ceremonial dance, and there is, however, formations, and everything in ceremonial thought is represented in four, as in the four directions. There are many social dancing, as the Ogogasan, Blackfoot traditional ceremony, was always time for dancing in between ceremonies. The owl dance, round dance, and snake dance got everyone into the circle. These were more celebration. An elder from my reserve speaks of these ceremonies as, respect is a major theme in those practices, especially respect for the creator and for all things of the creation. There is a deep respect for nature and for the universe, respect for other people too, especially children and elders. In their hearts, those of my grandmother's generation had so much respect for their elders that they never doubted the prayers and ceremonies practiced by them, even during the years when their minds were being confused by schools and churches. The residential schools played a very significant part in trying to convert the Blackfoot people to more of Christian religion, and in this process, a lot of damage was done to the people. Much confusion went on, and the effects of this is still felt throughout the generations. Indian agents emerged when we moved to our reserves. These men were appointed by the Canadian government and given complete authority over the lives of our people. Indian agents could limit or refuse to give out rations. In Canada, Indian agents issued passes that permitted people to leave the reserve for 3 days. Any person caught off the reserve without a valid pass was sent to jail for 30 days. Indian agents implemented government policy regardless of whether or not it benefited our people. Agent Wilson, who was working on the Blood Tribe, did everything in his power to exclude the activity of sun dancing, which was the main faith of the Blackfoot, our belief system, and the way we pray. It was called the Ogon. Agent Wilson was known as the man who stopped the dancing. This statement was actually recorded down in the Blood Tribe winter counts. On one such occasion, he withheld rations and the use of beef tongues. The beef tongues were used in ceremonies and the beef tongues were used in ceremonies and needed to perform them at the sun dance. Because of his efforts, no sun dances were held for 3 years. He prevented the Bloods from gathering into a single camp in 1896 and reported that, "I think this pagan ceremony has died out for good." The Bloods tried to have a sun dance the following year. However, Wilson was successful again. He also organized July 1st as sports days on the assumption that this would be a wholesome alternative to the festival. Heartened by his success, Agent Wilson decided in 1898 to extend his ban to include all types of giveaway dances. His first action was to arrest Running Wolf, Big Rib, and White Man's Wife for putting on a medicine pipe dance, but he refused to press charges when the matter came before the magistrate. "I thoroughly recognize that this medicine pipe dance is part of their religion and do not wish to insist at once that all the ceremony must cease, but I do think it right in view of the fact that so many children are being returned from industrial and boarding schools where they have been given religious instruction to begin to press the Indians a little upon the subject." In 1895, the Indian Act was revised to prohibit any festival, dance, or other ceremony in which the giving away or paying or giving back of money, goods, or articles of any sort forms a part. In many ceremonial dances or dancing with bundles, medicine bundles, or the transferring of bundles, many gifts are given due to their power and because of the belief system. And this often helped the person with prayers and the vows being made. Wilson's tenacity to prevent these dances and implement policy was challenged when Running Wolf, a minor chief and one of the leading supporters of Native religion, claimed that as a holy man, he had to go away by himself to make an offering to the sun. But he needed 6 whole beef tongues. Wilson was shot a few days later when he learned that they were to be used so that either child's wife could sponsor a sun dance. The effects of residential school left drastic impressions of mistrust even within our own people. An elder from residential school explains her experience with traditional knowledge after coming through the residential school system. "We who were young know little about the protocol that needs to be followed in approaching such elders for knowledge and advice. There are many rules and etiquettes that must be treated respectfully and never fooled around with. I suppose the old people wanted to make sure we were sincere in our interests. Audrey Weasel Traveler writes in part of her thesis titled, A Shining Trail to the Sun Lodge, Renewal Through Blackfoot Ways of Knowing. My identity as a First Nations person was seldom mentioned in a positive light within the classroom, while the majority of the textbook references to my people were atrocious. Blackboard borders describe A is for apple, B is for ball, and I is for Indian. And somehow I was left to leave somewhat small and itemized by such an illusion. A curriculum that gave no validation to the rich and beautiful heritage of First Nations people, but rather fostered the concept of negative stereotyping, did little to prevent the seeds of cultural alienation from embedding within many of the First Nations students. Many of these experiences are shared throughout the First Nations people across Canada, and the Blood Reserve was no exception. In my interviews with people from the reserve, it could be compiled generally that abuse, neglect, and rape were the dominating factors that prolong and stage an ongoing effect that only advanced into the younger generations. The concept of degradation can be echoed throughout the education system and life on the street in nearby town, villages, and cities. The concept still exists in the lives of many people struggling with identity while trying to further themselves into the system of modern society. These experiences left drastic effects on our parents and grandparents who came out of residential school with lost values, hope, and no direction. After being slapped in the face and encouraged that our people are nothing but uncivilized savages, respect was gone for one another, themselves, and the belief system. One can only imagine why so many of these men and women hang out downtown Lethbridge consuming alcohol on an everyday basis or anything to drown your shameful and worthless life. That was beaten into you by the people running the schools. Another section of Weasel Traveler's research in Insights and Assessments, writing on her experience as a counselor, she interviews an inmate at the Lethbridge Correctional Center. Focusing on his patterns of returning to jail, he asked her if she had ever attended residential school. She responded yes, and he said that he had spent 8 years in the boarding school, and this place is easy. It's freedom compared to those 8 years in residential school. As I was compiling information for my research, a tribal spiritual leader shared his information and experience of residential school. He recalls his memory of being in residential school one fall night, getting ready for bed as Spear Chief arrives on horseback, enters the schools, walks down the hall, and hands his son treats of bars and oranges he had in his pocket, and goes back out. After he left, that boy didn't get one bite out of that candy. Candy was always taken away. We were not worthy of such prestige, and we were very degraded in the system. He recalls the many chores he had to do to accomplish throughout the day, by growing their own food and making food from the farm. Children made butter, however, never allowed to use the butter, only the staff. It was difficult to be sitting next to the staff dining room and looking over at their food, which by his expression was better than what they were eating. These deliberate acts of injustices were very detrimental among the Blackfoot peoples who encountered and lived through such harsh times. There was hope in finding ourselves through all of this abuse, as Odun explains. We loved and cherished our grandparents, so we knew they couldn't be as evil as we were being told in school. So through it all, I believe and learned from a damaged man singing a Blackfoot song, probably given to him for strength, I don't know. But who am I and what was I? For me, this was a very empowering scenario. And learning the use of these tools of song and dance is the greatest education that will ever empower me as I learn to survive in this system. And in closing, and in part of the Q&A, I would like to ask the questions and ask out there, why did this happen? Who's in charge? What administration was in charge at the time? How is it still affecting our people? Why was I affected? And why was I not in this? Anyone want to give a stab at it?